Welcome to another episode of the Parenting Pathway Podcast. This is Pastor Dave Carl, and I'm joined today with Brandon Fletcher, our pastor of young adults.
How you doing?
And our high school pastor, Nathan Kosurek.
Hi there.
And one of them has a beard. I'll let you decide for yourself who's who.
Not me.
So today, our topic is being a young adult who has been over-parented and will navigate through some of the back channels of that. But I wanted to start out with, from that perspective, what is it like? Is it it was kind of fun while it lasted, but I'm doing fine, or it was bad, but I broke away last week and everything's great, or do I even know if I'm an overparented young adult? Yeah. What is, through the eyes of a a 23-year-old,
right,
in this culture, what do they see? What do they feel?
Yeah, I think one of the things I would answer first is I don't think they know that they're being overparented because they've been experiencing that as a norm. But what they feel when they step outside of the support system is like panic. It's a deer in the headlights. You're experiencing risk for the first time that you've never experienced before. And there's distress that you don't know how to handle. A lot of those different type of things. You have a low confidence level. So you're not really capable of figuring out all these things that's happening, and you don't understand why. So then it starts to pump a whole bunch of other things on. You're starting to question yourself, what's wrong with me? What's happening? And you're seeking answers somewhere. So I think for a young adult that's feeling I'm overparented, man, it's like kind of pulling back the blinds and seeing that Oz is not this great and powerful figure, but it's this small miniature person, and you don't know how to process this new reality.
Yeah, and you know, college campuses have noticed for a number of years now the rise in students reporting severe anxiety and depression. I think there's a risk in overparenting that takes the responsibility away from the child as they grow up to learn how to overcome adversity.
Absolutely.
How to cope with problems, unforeseen, unexpected problems as they arise. And so the ongoing problem that I can see is a lack of confidence, like you said, and uncertainty in their resilience.
Absolutely.
In other words, if you're going to be able to overcome anxiety, you have to get to a point where you know that even if that thing that scares you happens,
right,
you are resilient.
Absolutely.
And as believers in Christ, we're resilient because of Christ, because we have Christ in our lives.
Yeah. Definitely agree with that. I think the interesting thing, and kind of piggybacking off of that, is that lack of confidence, that lack of experience, like little things are gigantic things now. Mm-hmm. You know, just thinking, man, what happens if I pick the wrong set of shoes for today? Mm-hmm. So that all plays into it. It's very, very interesting. And you see a number of kids actually returning back from college now, not completing, but coming back and having to come home because of those anxiety levels and things of that nature. So it's pretty interesting what's happening, and even after college too.
So I'm, say, the parent of a junior higher. I want my kid to do really well. I want him to accomplish a lot. I might want him to be the best athlete he can be, and he's reasonably good. So we do that full bore, because that's really important to me. And we want him to be academically superior, because that's what's expected. And everybody else's kid is doing really well and on the honor roll. So I've got a... And Linda Wiley is using the term lawnmower parent, which is, I'm going to clear everything out of the way.
Mm. That's good.
And
not good.
It's going to be flat. It's going to be easy. I don't want them distracted from what they do well.
Right.
I don't want them to have to overcome any adversity, because that would be bad.
Right.
That would be a challenge. And what you both have just said is that that act of I wanted to get into on that team and I didn't make it, that could be formative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The not getting what you wanted, excuse me, and then recovering, and that could take a while because, you know, every fall, you know, for the next 40 years, I'm going to be thinking I should have played that last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just, it's an adversity that I have to struggle with and deal with and manage. And it's not easy, and it's hard to watch as a parent.
Right.
I don't want to watch my kid suffer.
Mm-hmm.
My instinct is, if he suffers anything, I'm probably not doing my job.
Right.
But what I'm hearing you both saying is that our kids, their muscle for dealing with adversity has atrophied.
Absolutely.
From non-use.
Yeah.
And that's very confusing to a parent who wants to do the best for their kid.
Right.
To stand back and not argue with the coach because he's not getting play time, or not go back to the English teacher and say, this is going to knock her out of the honor roll, and what else can we do? What
right.
extra yeah. credit? I mean, she'll do the work, but I'm running interference
yeah.
for her. And I would propose that if you miss the honor roll by one test this year, and you let them stew in that, next year might be a totally different experience for that girl.
Absolutely.
And then she would have had some experience going, I fell down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I got back up.
That's yeah. right.
Absolutely.
Well, I think one thing that helps us as parents is some serious introspection.
Amen.
On occasion. I think we have to ask ourselves, what is success and why do we want that? So if we are defining success as a high achieving son or daughter, and then we want that because of the way it makes us feel or the way it makes us look, or because we're trying to live our lives through their lives to achieve things that maybe we wish we could have or whatever, then I think we have to take a hard look in the mirror at that and then hold that motivation up against more of a biblical picture of our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely.
And how He fathers and, yeah. and parents us.
I couldn't agree with you more. That was the first thing that popped in my mind. I mean, word for word, it was just the, hey, what do we call success, and what does God say success is? And the interesting thing, you know, in the Christian culture and our faith, I think we have to be mindful of allowing culture to influence or actually seep into our faith. You know what I mean? Especially in a place like Frisco. I was preparing the notes and reading off the stats. I mean, it's the best place to raise an athlete, best place to live. July 2018, this is Money Magazine. You have so many bests, one of the top 10 places to live in Texas, most successful place, right? And you start qualifying. What does success mean to them? There's a low poverty rate. It's a great place to buy a house. It's all of these different things that unbeknownst to us, when we're not guarding our heart, it is seeping into, hey, what our expectation is for the person that God has gifted us to disciple and raise into another believer to accomplish and go after the world with for Christ. So we miss that context there when we're lawn mowing, when we're filtering in other, when we're not filtering then these things through what truth says in Scripture. And then also, in our sense, when we're trying to avoid our kids experiencing suffering, one of the first things that popped into my mind was that, you know, the father allowed the son to suffer, that we may be saved. The suffering that comes in, you look at James and what he talks about trials and doing that. There is an experience through various trials which prepares you and allows you to have confidence in Christ, hope in Christ, and build those muscles. So running away from suffering doesn't necessarily help. And there is an evaluation that needs to take at the parent level. And I would even say part of it is just their desire for comfort is also pushing towards their own kids as well, which it's not wrong to want to take care of and protect your kid. That's not what we're saying at all, but it's just that extra step.
Yeah, that's right. I think that parenting is really about four things. I think it's providing and protecting.
Yeah.
It's about teaching and connecting.
Yeah.
And so if a parent is, I didn't make that up.
You didn't?
No.
You should have kept that one.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think from now on, anytime Nathan says something smart,
just say,
one of us has to say.
That's it.
So obviously there's a God-given responsibility that we have as parents to protect. The question is, can we overprotect and then do unintended harm?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if we protect so that there is no failure or disappointment, which is an easy target to start aiming for.
Right.
My job is to protect, so nothing bad is going to happen to my kid if I can help it.
Mm-hmm.
You've overshot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has occurred to me that we've wanted them to not take bumps and bruises, to not fail, because we want them to feel good about themselves. We want them to have self-esteem that they are winners and not, you know, the alternative, being a loser.
Yeah.
And this is from out of a John Roseman's book, Parenting by the Book. And his quote, social scientist Roy Baumeister has spent more than a decade studying people who possess high self-esteem. His results would come as no surprise to grandma. Now, grandma is his metaphor for the way kids used to be raised, in her common sense. Baumeister has discovered, for example, that people with high self-esteem tend to have low self-control, especially when they aren't getting their way. They don't handle defeat or disappointment very well. Why? Because people with high self-esteem think they are entitled to always be the winner, numero uno.
Yeah.
Furthermore, they tend to lash out verbally and often physically at people they blame for their defeats and disappointments. Baumeister finds that wife abusers have generally high self-esteem, as do child abusers, people known for frequent episodes of road rage, and inner-city gang members. Most stupefying, Baumeister discovered, that hardcore criminals, people locked up in maximum security prisons, score higher on self-esteem assessments than any other group. That should send chills up and down your spine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So self-esteem is the wrong target.
Right.
That's
absolutely.
It seems to be an unchallenged question. Like, of course I want my child to have self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by, and then the second error is, and we get that, you know, unchallenged that's a good thing,
yeah.
Followed by an unchallenged thought of, and they will have high self-esteem if everything is easy-ish for them and they don't fail much.
Right.
When you started talking about the metaphor of the arrow and the target, it reminded me of Psalm 127. Where Solomon says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them.
Yeah.
They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in the court.
Right.
So when you look at that verse and you ask yourself, what is the target that the skilled warrior is aiming for? The children are to grow up and have the ability to contend,
yes.
You know, to contend with the opponents.
Right.
And
right.
So all these things start going off in my head about, you know, what are the wrong things that we are pointing our kids toward, shooting our arrow toward,
yeah.
and what are the right things we should be shooting our arrows toward?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's a fantastic assessment there. Kind of convicted me when you said, you know, kids in your youth.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have those.
Okay.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're working on it. It's a process.
You know, got to start on this. Ladies, I'm still single. Just kidding.
No, he's not kidding. He's really single.
Thanks for that. No, man, that is a great question. You know, as I was thinking through everything here, one of the things that popped in my mind is that even in our faith, we are, our point is balance. To find that happy balance, and it's right there in the middle. It's not too far to the left. It's not too far to the right. You're not licentious. You're not legalistic. If you look at Christ, he was operating here in the middle, right? If you look at, in the middle is holiness, honestly. And if you look at parenting here, you don't want to give them this high self-esteem, but then you don't want to rip the crap out of them when they're, can I say crap?
Nope.
I'm sorry. But you don't want to rip them up when, you know, when they're making that bad decision and give them this low self-esteem. What you want to shoot them for is the age-appropriate risk throughout their life. And just saying, hey, okay, yeah, go up there. I'm not saying, hey, send them up the tree and break their arm, but boys are going to climb up stuff. They fall, they break their arm. They're like, oh, man, we got this thing to do. But
yeah, age-appropriate risk. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, just getting into that. And that way, man, they've had this history of either accomplishing something or failing at something well. I forgot who wrote the book, Failing Forward. But I think that's what we should be striving for, failing forward and learning from failure rather than failure being something that paralyzes you to never do again. And to also point at others and refuse to accept responsibility for what has happened to you. I think far too often I've heard a lot of stories now about there's students being saved and having their grades changed because mom or dad wasn't happy with what was said, and they call up the teacher and they get that grade changed. And that never happened with me. I grew up in a different era. The grade change for me was knowing that there was some type of punishment that would come if the grade wasn't correct. So.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's age-appropriate risk, it's age-appropriate responsibility.
Yeah. You know, always rescuing them from a potential consequence does more harm than good.
Absolutely.
And really, that speaks to our own codependency.
Yeah.
Where I was saying before, we have this need to feel significant because we are stepping in and preventing our kids from experiencing the consequences of sometimes their bad choices, but sometimes a good choice to take a risk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's great. I think in thinking about it, the times that we should come in and save is when it's something that is being that is coming at them that is inappropriate for their age. Right.
Yeah.
You got a parent coming at your kid. Hey, dad or mom steps in. They need to know, hey, somebody's got my back here. You got a kid coming at your kid, I mean, you want to first talk to them, try to figure that thing out first, and then step in there. That's a little different.
Yeah, I think we're trying to protect them from the lifelong consequences.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't want that to happen.
And my question is for that is that more for them or more for the parent?
Oh, no. When I talk about a lifelong consequence, I'm talking about death or maiming.
That makes sense. That is definitely something.
Yeah, so obviously going back to that, we do have a role to protect.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. But and then stepping into that too, the desire to make everything easy for that for your child, is that so that they don't mess up and make you look bad as well? You know, is there a concern there? Because if that's the case, then too, I mean, you know, you're asking that question, hey, what do you want out of this? What is your connection to this? Is it truly for that discipleship of your child? Is it, you know, hey, there is a part of it that matters. Like my parents always tell me, you were representing us as you stepped out of that house.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's very true. But if it's one of those things like, hey, you dropped the big pass, don't make me look bad.
Right.
That's a little different.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So.
Well, and I think the risks, because everybody, I mean, using the word around parents makes them suck in their breath.
Right.
Like, I don't know what risk I would be comfortable with allowing my... But if you have an 8-year-old and you let him experiment climbing a tree,
right,
and he fails somehow by scraping himself up or falling and breaking his arm, and he recovers from that, and he thinks, well, I went too high, or I was swinging to a branch, it was too far. I did something dumb, I over, you know. That's recoverable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he would learn, presumably, and perhaps you need to have a discussion. Son, I want you up in the tree when you're better.
Yeah.
What did you do wrong? What happened here? Because I don't want to take trees away from you.
Right.
I want you to like trees.
Yeah.
We got to figure out what went wrong. And if it just happens sometimes, well, don't be afraid of trees. Now, when he's 18 and there's a risk, there's a residual effect from having endured a past risk, even if it's a significantly smaller version. Like I heard a girl describe herself as, I get back up. And I thought, oh man.
That's pretty cool.
If you had a kid and their self-image, not their self-esteem, their self-image was, I get back up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's right. The right target.
So how would you raise a kid to do that? And, you know, it's very difficult to get, you know, because we start joking and, you know, I've got a dad, I've heard him, you know, the kid scraped his arm. He said, go rub some dirt in it.
Right, right.
And that's funny if it's a little scrape. If the kid is really alarmed and in serious pain, he just got diminished.
Right.
So, and you as a parent, you get to goof up and over, you know, overswing and then bring it back and hug him up and take care of him. But I would think success, and we've talked about this, I think, before, success is such a, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Don't raise your kid to be successful.
Yeah.
Choose something better, something that you can actually get some crosshairs on, have a resilient kid.
Yeah.
Now, your training would be very different.
Yeah.
Just even at first blush. I want my kid to be successful. You could be a little crazy and he'll never have a problem and we'll pay for everything so he doesn't have to work a part-time job while he's going through college.
Right.
Which I think would be a mistake, by the way.
Yeah.
But if I want a kid who's resilient, I would now start planning things that would test his resilience in ways that I think he can accomplish.
That's true.
So we would perhaps go on a long hike on a camping trip, and he's going to say, how far till we camp? A little bit further, buddy. And then next year when you're talking about it, you go, that was a 3-mile hike. And everybody laughs about it.
Yeah.
Now he knows 3 miles, I can do 3 miles.
Yeah.
Next summer, when we say we're going to do 6, he's like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can leapfrog forward. You don't have to have done a 10 to do a 10.
Absolutely.
You can do a 7 and have confidence that I survived that.
Yeah.
And I can go further than I've been. I can endure more than I've had because I am a person who gets back up. That would be a tangible, manageable, you could even craft a plan to help your kid become a resilient person.
Yeah. I think there's something that you kind of talked about briefly, which I think would contribute to that majorly too, is just you said parents have the right to mess up, and I think that's valid, but at the same time they have the right to tell their kids, I've messed up.
Yeah.
So the kids don't think, hey, they were perfect in this. No, they made mistakes, and you see that's resilience comes with mistakes. I had a young adult just recently where there's an issue that he was having with another young adult, and they had to have a conversation. I wasn't going to intervene or anything like that. And I was just trying to give him some advice, and I told him, hey, I messed up on some advice I gave him. But prior to that, I just kept noticing he was asking me questions to figure out, what do I do this step? What do I do that step? And I just stopped, and I said, hey, man, you have the right to mess up and learn from it. And that might sting a bit, but you got to start taking some responsibility with this, too. And I think that's one of those things of just knowing it's okay. People in front of people I look up to mess up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to make those decisions as a parent to know how hard to push, how much to assist, how much freedom to give them, when to bring back and restrict them from certain freedoms. And I like what you said, Dave, that, yeah, we don't always get it right, and we need to accept grace and realize that we are under grace and we're not perfect as parents. I think that when it comes to our relationship with our kids, they need to know that we love them,
yeah,
and we're not perfect, and we understand they're not perfect,
right,
but we are going to try to guide them and lead them toward God's very best for their lives.
Absolutely.
So I think that's where what you were saying with the balance, it's like, yeah, we're gonna strive to achieve mm-hmm. great things for God and by His strength.
Yeah.
But that's a very different motivation than what are people gonna think of us if our kids
yes.
Are not straight A's or
right.
top of their sport or yeah. activity.
Or get arrested.
Right.
Right.
What are people going to yeah. think? Uh-huh.
And Lord.
Show up drunk at home or whatever.
Yeah.
So those are things, those are even things to recover from. And when a kid has done something like that, come home drunk and got caught, if it's managed well, the kid is going to know, I can come back from anything with my parents.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, the prodigal son story,
yeah.
right? I mean, we ought to take note. That was good parenting.
It was.
And I think how many of us would, in our nature, ever do anything like that?
Absolutely.
We'd be pretty upset. Yeah. I'd be upset if half of everything I had got wasted.
Yeah.
In that manner.
Absolutely. I think we would act more like the older brother.
Right?
Yep. It's like, nah, this dude is coming back. Forget that.
Yeah, right.
You know, I got condemnation waiting
yeah,
for you, baby.
Right. Justice.
That's it.
So we're talking about young adults, but it's a parenting pathway podcast.
Absolutely.
So we're talking to parents. Give me a couple of things as young men, you're not in your 20s, but young men.
Still look like it.
Thanks, Dave.
That were helpful to you.
Man.
As you were being, because you are both capable, self-propelled men who are resilient. I've seen it in both of your lives. You've got what we're talking about. What, if you can reach back, moments that you felt a surge of, I got this, or I'm going to do this the way my dad did. I saw him, what are handholds that could be helpful to a parent listening today?
Man.
I probably should have emailed this question to you.
Yeah, that's all right. You got one, Brandon?
I got kind of both, like what didn't help and what kind of did help.
Yeah,
at
go
same
ahead.
Time. Yeah. I do recall one of the first times ever, this is one thing that my parents did really well. I had rebelled in the household because I just felt ill-treated, and they actually admitted that it was going on, and I just stopped talking to everybody. I was just going about doing my, and it like shattered my mom, and she brought my dad in, and they actually called me in the living room. They said, they just talked to me. And rather than just trying to push the hammer down even more, there was just a recognition of failure on their part. And they said, what are we doing? Like, this isn't good. This isn't healthy. We love you. This hurts. That right there was big for me because it was the first time ever I had seen them. And just to preface, I grew up in a very fractured home. So there was a lot that I saw that wasn't good. But it was the first time ever I had seen them kind of consider, hey, we've messed up, and consider my feelings in that thing. And that kind of made a big imprint on me. Big
yeah.
time. Yeah. On the negative aspect, I'll just say one thing. It was just, there was when you made a mistake, oh, there was shame behind that. It was hard. So, like, even though there's resilience, there's also, for me, there's a resilience to people. They see that I'm pushing in, but I have to fight my mind all the time to get away from those thoughts of, man, you messed up, you got to stop this, because it's kind of what I grew up in, and just pushing through that. And then the other one is just later in life, man. And I think this helps, and also to let parents know, it's great to do it early, but it's not over. Death is the only thing that ends it. Me and my dad was having a discussion not too long ago with some tragedy that has happened in the family recently. And he had shared with me, he's like, hey, Len, I go through anxiety and depression as well. And I'm like, man, I never knew that.
Yeah.
I need to know what's going on, because it helps me to feel that I can be vulnerable too.
So. Yeah.
Well, there's a turning point when parents start to treat their kids like adults.
Absolutely.
And when they start telling them stuff like, we went through some tough times when you were 8 and didn't know, or maybe you did know, but we thought you didn't know.
Right.
And there's a, I'm being invited in to the world of adults by my parents, not having to be perfect, because that's a bad sitcom fantasy thing. You don't want your kids to think you're perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's either, you know, I can't help thinking about Elf, but, you know, built on a throne of lies. You sit on a throne of lies. But it's not even positive.
Yeah.
You don't want to think that your parents are perfect. There's nothing beneficial in that.
Yeah, so it comes crashing down at some point.
And it will, and then it's going to be, you have to navigate, ugh. But I think one of the good things in your story is that they invited you in as a man.
Yeah.
They treated you, gave you information, even perhaps when you were a little bit, it was a little early for that.
Yeah. At that stage, it was something that, remember, we had a little fractured stuff. So it was that they couldn't hold it back.
Yeah.
So they had to reveal, you know what I mean? So, it's been some good things.
I think for me, you know, not too unsimilar from your story, Brandon, but I had to learn a degree of independence at an early age.
Yeah.
So from the time I was still very young, I had responsibilities for laundry and taking the trash out to the dumpster at night in the scary parking lot of the apartment complex. But, you know, I think another big turning point, a big step forward in my development was just working a part-time job and having to pay my own way for things, you know, walking from my apartment to the grocery store where I worked and sacked groceries on the weekends and late nights taught me a certain amount of independence. And I knew I did not want to be walking everywhere forever. And
real.
So I knew why I was working. I was saving to get a car, which
Absolutely.
I finally was able to buy with my own money my 12th grade year. It was a beautiful 84 hatchback Ford Escort.
Woo.
Yeah, had pink triangles.
Escort. The ladies
painted
like
all
the
over.
Escort.
I could tell you stories, but we don't have to get into that.
Brother, I had an Escort too.
That's you did? Great.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you sure. That assisted in your success.
Oh, yeah, man.
Or repellent,
exactly.
As it were. But
I like to blame the car.
Yeah, it had to be the car.
It had to be.
Anyway, I felt a great deal of pride and maybe a healthy amount of pride in knowing that, I had
take care of yourself.
Taken care of myself. So when it was time to leave home, I wasn't worried that I wouldn't be able to earn money and pay $175 a month for our mobile home rent.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure my mother was terrified that I'm living with those jokers in a mobile home.
It's a double whammy.
Yeah. Right.
Knuckleheads, mobile home.
Yeah. There's nothing to go wrong here.
Still here. Still here, y'all.
That's right.
But I think most stories of resilience are... Not only did you learn to earn money, you learned how to live frugally.
That's true.
And not hate it. You went on out, but I can live like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
someone
who's never had to live within their means, and don't ask me how I know that they were really immature, they just rage.
Oh, yeah.
I can't live like this. I mean, you may not even say it out loud. And don't ask me how I know, but internally, you burn up all kinds of energy, and you are angry at God, man, and the universe, because you have to live without cable or whatever.
Right. Your expectations are very high.
Yeah.
But when you have come through something, you're like, I could go back there, beans and rice are good all day long, and I'm not going to be frustrated by it. I'm gonna work my way away from that.
Yeah.
As soon as I can, it's like standing on your head. That's resilience.
Yeah.
And
I got a story for you.
And
it was.
And then we'll wrap.
Go ahead. Yeah. You talked about hiking, and I love this. It just popped in my head. One Saturday morning, my dad's Army detachment had a family run, and everybody was out there with their families. We were all running together, and it was me, my mom, my dad. We were running. He was kind of ahead of us for a while. We just kind of got tired and wanted to quit, and I was ready to go, and my mom kind of stepped off, and I was about to step off too. And then I looked at my dad, and I just kept running. And I looked at his eyes. He was proud, but then he would run next to me.
Hmm.
And we just kept going and going until we finished. And that was amazing. I mean, we came back home, and he was like, hey, man, I'm really proud of you. You pushed yourself. And I'm like, you were there with me. You know, we got this thing accomplished. Now, there was other parts of the story we're going to leave out, but
what
I want to Disney
for,
but it was great.
In fact, that was exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I took it from Nathan.
You're welcome.
So to have some summary statement for parents, good news, you don't have to take care of everything for your kids. You don't have to remove all of the obstacles. You perhaps even want to watch them crash into some obstacles. Earlier and smaller is better because they are bigger and more painful and leave marks longer later.
Mm-hmm.
But to and in the Christian walk, it is predicated on endurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On I'm going to do the right thing, and nobody's going to cheer for me today.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it anyway, because God has called me to.
Absolutely.
That's a day in the life of a man.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
And it might sound like, son, you can't quit the team until the end of the season. Now, if you don't want to go next season, that's up to you.
Yeah.
But you finish out.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's good resilience training that could easily be transferred to my friends around me are doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and I am tempted, but I know what it's like to have some endurance and to hang on to what's solid. And I mean, that stuff is because there's, you know, I hope I don't ruin your Christmas here, but the Christian walk is difficult. And it's fraught with disappointment.
Right.
And seasons where you do not get anybody cheering for you. You just do what you're supposed to do, and your reward may not even be here.
That's true.
Now, we do know there is one.
Right.
And when we get there, we're going to look back and go, I would have done so much more had I recognized what the economy of heaven was like.
Right.
But so shooting for resilience instead of success would be, as I'm summarizing our discussion today, that would be a better goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then using that to move that resilience then into your Christian walk would be the big
Absolutely.
The big win.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us today. Brandon Fletcher, our young adult pastor.
Love you, Mom and Dad.
And single.
Oh, really?
And his home number is...
It's...
And Nathan Kosurek, our high school pastor.
It's been my privilege.
Thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
And thank you for spending a few minutes, half hour-ish, with us on the Parenting Pathway podcast. Thank you, Jason, for doing the engineering, and thank you, Christine, for setting everything up.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time, and remember, don't do life and don't do parenting by yourself.